Today we are in Matthew. We're in Matthew 6. If you're a guest with us today, we're going through the Gospels in a chronological way, and we've been in the Sermon on the Mount and just taken it verse by verse, section by section, and it's been just a very enjoyable study and as we've gone through and just looked at these. It's all red letters. It's all Jesus Christ talking to us. It's wonderful. And it's just been a pleasure to read it and to go through it with you all. But today, as we start, where are your thoughts? What are you thinking about? What's so heavy on your mind and on your heart today? Is it things of earth? Maybe troubles, maybe desires, maybe struggles? Or is it on things of heaven? Is it on earthly things or is it on God? What are you seeking? And again, as we get started, where is your heart? And where is Christ in the middle of all those things that are going through your heart and through your mind? And that's what Jesus is talking to us today, a concern of Christ, of where's our heart, where's our mind, where's our focus, what are we pursuing? And we'll pray and then we'll read. Father in heaven, as we open up your word and we read, we pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, our spirits, our ears, all that we are, Lord, to where we can be obedient to those things which you will teach us today. Lord, not just in this hour, not just today, but Lord, in every day of our life on this journey as you conform us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Reading Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body, and so then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." So here we see Jesus Christ coming out and, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." And is it warning? Is it wisdom? I think it would be both. That here, out of his love, out of knowing what his purpose all the way back into Genesis 1 and verse 26, where they've created us in his image, with all that Christ is redeeming, what he's restoring, what his purpose is there, it is a warning and it is wisdom for his disciples, not for just them there, but if you know about what a purpose of a disciple is, to pass it on for us, so it's for us today also. And so here we see that Christ, he gives us a contrast of two kinds of treasures in the beginning. Treasures and things that, again, if you're a guest with us today, we don't talk a whole lot about treasures and money, and there's not going to be a second offering. That's not what this is about. It's about our heart. It's about our worship. It's about this journey on this earth that can be distracted by so many different things, and about how a God is that says, "I love you, and seek me, and seek me, and seek me, and seek me," whether it's Old Testament, whether it's New Testament, "seek me first in all things." But it's our treasures that can distract us the most from him. And I imagine that does hurt his heart. But here he gives us a contrast of two kinds of treasures. And first, there's earthly treasures. And then as we read in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And we see right there, he gives a reason why, because where moth and rust destroy, these earthly treasures would be maybe homes or jewelry or precious things that we would have. Maybe it's pleasure, it's fame. Maybe it's our profession or our desired profession or property or money, or just let's draw a line and you fill in the thing that your heart desires most in this earth. And these things, they tend, an earthly treasure would be that which dominates one's life and holds our attention and our focus on the things of the earth and distracts us from the things of Christ. I mean, but think about it. If you were tonight, if the Holy Spirit in the midst of our worship time here said, hey, this is going to be your last day, what would you do? Oh, Lord, I gotta wax my car one more time before I go. So, because I know so-and-so won't take care of it when I'm gone. Or hey, I got to transfer some money. Or I got to do what? I mean, what is it? Other than, praise the Lord, I have 10,000 reasons to worship you in 10,000 days. Well, not just, it'd be a whole lot more than 10,000 days. But I have eternity to be with you. What is our focus? What distracts us? What do we long for? I mean, he knows what we need. This doesn't take away any of the other wisdom here. When it comes to handling finances and handling treasures, there's scripture that gives us wisdom. We know that we're supposed to save. We know that we're supposed to put away for emergencies. We know we're supposed to save for a time so we can take care of ourselves later on in life or when things happen. We know that we're supposed to be generous and we're supposed to be doing different things. So this doesn't distract from the truths of all of Scripture. And again, it's not a plea for you to support the church more. We know we need to do that. We know that we value what Jesus Christ is doing. We know the Great Commission. We know that the church is the vehicle of the Great Commission, carrying out God's grace and the truth of Christ. And so we support those things. That is not what this is about today. This, again, our focus, not on the things of the earth, whatever personally we are drawn to, but is that we are supposed to be focused on God. And we live in a culture that is so materialistic. Today we're going a couple years ago when I went on that mission trip to Africa and went there and saw just poverty like never before, but at the same time I saw joy like never before. True joy. I mean, you're living in something that's smaller than most American sheds, and you're truly joyful. Give us our daily bread, that means something to them. I mean, they go and they work enough for that day and they go barter and do whatever they need to do. And true joy. We live in a culture where we have stored up for ourselves so many treasures in this earth and still just seem to be discontent in so many different ways. But again, what Christ desires here is for us not to focus on the things of the earth, but on Christ. Then when we put our efforts and we focus on him, all those things will seem to follow. But you know, it's easy to get caught up in the treasures of this earth. I mean, just think about the treasures of this earth. They're tangible. I mean, we're talking about things about going to heaven and focus on our treasures in heaven. We can't really touch those yet. We believe they're there. But right now, today, we feel this way, and such and such and such and such, we believe would probably make us feel better. And so they're tangible, things that we can touch now. And often it's influenced by others. It's crazy on the psychology that goes into advertising, because they know what will motivate people to pursue different things. And they get into our heads without us even knowing about it. Oh, this is new. This is shiny. There's a discount if you order now, you know? And this is up and coming. If you go and you just look at the history of chicken wings, of how, you know, they were just a wasted part, you know, and not, and somebody like said that they were cool or hot. And they built a store and made it a big deal. And now chicken wings, got all these chickens running around without their wings. And so it's who we are. It's just we got to, shiny and all those type of things and what everybody else has and what everybody else is doing. Even packaging. I mean, if you pack something worthless in a way that's pretty, oh boy, now we want it. And yesterday we had an event at the school and there was a silent auction. Most of these baskets, each classroom had to build a basket and they did a silent auction. It was a fundraiser for the school and there's a lot of junk in those baskets, but they were packed really pretty. Boy, they went for some dough. But aren't we like that? Aren't we like that? You know what Christ says, though, is that these earthly riches, they're not going to last. I mean, he says that where moth and rust destroy, they're not going to last. Everything ages. Everything deteriorates. Everything decays. Everything is going to come to an end. Everything. And then earthly riches, the things that we focus on, again, we need to be wise. We need to invest wisely. We need to do the things. We need to follow the wisdom that is in Scripture. We need to do those things and take care of ourselves, take care of our families, take care of our loved ones, and be wise in that. But everything here in this earth is insecure. It really is. We think our bank can do all this. Your little website can have a little lock on there. Everything is insecure. Everything can be stolen. Everything can be used up. If you know anything about the conservation of matter, you know that everything that exists will always exist. It can't be destroyed, or some atomic physicist says it can. But everything that God created, and all the wealth that's ever been created, it exists today. And it only transfers one from people to people. And there are those people that seem to gather it a whole lot better than others. And so even your wealth is going to be transferred in somewhere, some way, at some time. Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 6:7, you brought nothing into the world, and guess what? You're not going to take anything out. And that is so true. And so everything can be snatched away from us in a moment. We probably know of stories of he or she who had it all, and for some reason this happened or that happened, and it's just, whoa, it's devastating on how things change so quickly. I mean, we live in a nation where if you really look at the news and you've been real with yourself and looking at things. We live in a nation where we're really teetering on some things. Where, I mean, in a moment, the wrong political move or this or that can really put our country in a very devastating place. And so when that happens, is the church ready to step up and help out in the midst of that? I'm afraid not. Not in the beginning, at least. But again, earthly riches, they're not going to last. They are insecure. And we can't take anything with us, but then Christ also talks about a second treasure. There's the earthly treasures, but then also there is the heavenly treasures that we see that he talked about. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do we do that? You know, let's make some deposits. Wouldn't that be nice if we could just, you know, go to the ATM, the heaven, the ATM, or every time we spend less than a dollar, those cents would transfer over to our heavenly account. That's not quite how it works. What is he talking about here? He's talking about a blameless life. He's talking about becoming a true child of God. He's not talking about just coming to church, but he's talking about being the church every single day of your life. He's talking about being obedience, because we know obedience is, that's worship. I mean, we just sang together and we sang some truth. And we're talking about Scripture now, but true worship is when we go live according to those things. Those are treasures, or that's investing treasures up into heaven. Coming and praying and seeking God, understanding God's will, being so familiar with His Word, just the forgiveness of sins and seeking that confession, seeking again His wisdom, and just the enormous blessing of the inheritance that we have in heaven. Oh, Scripture says that we can't even comprehend what He has in store for us. We can't. That's why I'm not going to talk about it, because I can't comprehend it. And you wouldn't if I did. No. But also the Holy Spirit. We just prayed, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. What a gift alone. Just Holy Spirit, just or as a comforter, as our advocate, as our helper, just leading us through this life. And then we know in John 10:10, where Christ talks, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. And now, if you've been a follower of Christ for any length of time, you've probably been in these places where you're really close to God and focused on God, and everything is exciting, and there's just a renewed strength, a renewed joy, and all is good. The troubles of the earth just don't matter. And then there's those times where we just, it's kind of that slow fade that we talk about, that we've, there's a song about even, that where it turns to gray. And next thing you know, we're focused on different things. We get focused on the bank account. We get focused on the troubles of the world. And then we're no longer looking at Christ. And then things are terrible. They're heavy. And that's what he's talking about here. Focus on him. Focused on him, he can have that everlasting life. But our stuff, I mean, think about this. What defines you? There's another question today. What defines you? Often our pursuits define us. I've said many times, usually we can find out what somebody pursues by the stickers that are on the back of their vehicle. I mean, really? And so what do you pursue? Who are you? Often our significance, you know, is sought by earthly things, but the reality, when we look at who Christ is, what God created us to be, what he has saved us to be, the only true significance that we can have is that is lasting and fulfilling is that which comes from Jesus Christ alone. If you're a note taker, I encourage you to take these. If you're not a note taker, I encourage you to take these things down. I'm just going to talk about just several verses that, and I'm paraphrasing and just writing them down, but you write them down and you check me out on these things. Well, first of all, we know in Genesis 1:26 that we are created in God's image. And we do know, I don't have the verse on this, it's coming off my mind here, that we are being restored to that image. We've been redeemed, we've been saved when we come to the place of faith in Jesus Christ, that we are being restored to that image. God's original purpose still exists, and he is restoring us back to that. And so in Romans 8, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. Now listen, life, what is your life? What brings you significance here? We have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:7. We have, or Christ is all and in all, Colossians 3:11. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. Then our bodies are a member of Christ, and this is 1 Corinthians 6, and then also says, whoever joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And the Holy Spirit is in you. That's 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 19. I've just pulled different things from that. John 15:8. Listen, this one. Without me, you can do nothing. I mean, think about it. All the things you're doing without Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. I mean, on one side too, we're told in our flesh that there's no good man. There is none who is righteous. But then over in 1 Peter, we are told to be holy and perfect, for he is holy and perfect. How can we do that? It is through Jesus Christ, through the redemption that we have in Christ, and his Holy Spirit brings that about. Again, without Christ, we are nothing. Galatians 2:20, Christ lives in me. And then Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ. And then we just quoted, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is, we know he says that. Nothing else can satisfy. Nothing else. It would leave us wanting. I mean, hey, have you ever saved up for that one thing that you wanted really, really bad? It was shiny. It was cool. If you're a girl, it was probably pretty. If you're a guy, it was probably tough. Or whatever it was, and then when you got it, well, that's good. But now, what's next? What's next? Because we're left wanting when it comes to things of the world. But it is in Christ that heavenly treasures are found. Again, our stuff seems to define us, but real definition is that which is found in Christ. Remember what Christ says in Matthew 16:26. What good will it do for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his what? his soul. The world can't do anything for us. We got to live in it. We got to live among it. We got to survive. And it's not anything wrong having shiny things. But why? What is your motivation? What are you pursuing? Are you defined by that shiny thing, or are you defined by the things of Christ? So again, where is your heart? You know, Christ, that's our next point. Where is your heart? You know, Christ identified two types of eyes. We read that in this passage. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, the eye is the gate to the mind and to the heart. And through that, it's a window into our heart and also into our soul. And when it comes to the things of Christ, Christ tells us to stop seeking these treasures. But he guides us, and what a merciful, wise thing for him to teach us, to begin seeking that which is good. Patty Martin, many of you know Patty Martin. Before I was your pastor, I was just filling in for an interim at that time. This was years ago, and I met this Patty Martin. She's about this tall, and she'd whoop the biggest one of y'all that's in here. And she's 99, and she just grabbed my hand, and she's pretty cool too. She grabs your hand, then she does this little thumb thing, and she just holds on to me. And I didn't know her name. I didn't know her. I didn't know she was on the search committee. I didn't know any of that. And I tell you, she looked in my soul. And I told Stephanie whenever we left here, I said, you know, I don't know who that woman was, but she looked in my soul. She looked in my heart. She just did. She stared. Oh, the eye is the gate into the mind and into your heart. And an eye that... A good eye that Christ is talking about here is one that seeks the things of Christ, and an evil eye is the one that seeks things that are not of God. Now let's talk about things. And we're just like, well, things aren't really evil. That's true. They're amoral. Things don't necessarily become bad. But what is some of the evil that comes out of the eye? That comes through, or what he's talking about here, that comes out of the heart, that in the dark eye, things like coveting. Oh man, you just got something new. Oh, and the neighbor just went and got something newer. Oh, it's time to catch. I mean, we used to have somebody. Stephanie's in the nursery right now, but we'd go buy like a really used car, and they'd go buy a new one. I mean, literally, I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. And they kept doing it. We knew it. We still know it. We love them. They're not here. If they listen to it, they'll know who I'm talking about. And listen to the whole sermon if you're hearing it. It was just funny. It freaked me out. I was like, hey, let's go buy something just to see if they'll do it again, just to mess with them. And that is not in Christ, I'm sure. But complaining. We get to a place where we do want more, but then we also get to a place where we're fearful of losing that which we got. Because the reality, it can be stolen. Then we become closed-minded about the things of Christ. We've been called to be a generous people, and generous not just to the church, but generous to brothers and sisters, to family, to other people that are in our life, to whatever the Holy Spirit will lead us to help people through. Often through our generosity do we get the right to share the gospel with people. And then we become jealous. And again, it's not the stuff, it's the issue of the heart. And that's what Christ is talking about here. It's the issue of our heart. But again, who are we? Who are we? Well, we're in Christ. Let's look at Philippians 3. I'm going to look at Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Yeah, Philippians 3, we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. We don't think about this very often. But in Philippians 3, 20 through 21, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write this. He says, he reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. I mean, have you thought about that this week? I've said the Pledge of Allegiance at least six times this week. But have you really thought about it? You're a citizen of heaven. Praise God, we're a citizen of heaven. But going back, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, we're going to read through 21, yeah, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he himself has even to subject all things to him, to himself. But the point there is that we are citizens of heaven. And so as citizens of heaven, we need to begin investing in that citizenship and fulfilling the, we have rights, praise God. Oh, we thank God for the rights, but what are our responsibilities to that citizenship? That's another sermon. But 2 Corinthians 4:18, let's look at that real quick. 4:18. It'll be on the board if you can't turn there fast enough. And write it down. Definitely write it down. Check me out on everything I read and say. But in 2 Corinthians 4:18, I'm in 1 Corinthians 4:18. Here he writes, while we look not at the things, kind of picking up in the middle of a conversation here, and I'll just back up to 17, but what you're going to see on the board is 18. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So that means good things are coming. And the verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what, church? Are eternal. And that's the thing, that we've come to a place where through God's grace, through his mercy, that he has broken to our life, he's through his effective calling, has saved our souls, and he's opened our minds to his truth. Oh, and it's about him. It's about him. And we truly, when we get to a place individually and corporately to where we truly seek God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. I couldn't remember strangely. But yeah, don't we get caught up in the things of the world? I know I do. I do. There's shiny things that I have on my list. Remember, every sermon that I bring to you is one that's already wore me out. Ah, yeah. Number three, we can't play both sides. Jesus says that there at the end of Matthew 6. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now, nowhere does he say that, you know, there's to stop pursuing treasure. He just says, hey, you got to start pursuing the right treasure, that there's a bad investment, but there's a good investment, and that investment is the things of Christ. But you can't play both sides. And we see in this that there's a difference between heaven versus earth. There's eternal versus temporary. There's Christ versus self. There's good versus evil. There's spiritual versus the material. The choice is clear. The choice is clear. We would know it if we took the test. We would pass it today. But the everyday drudgery, going day in and day out, the world begins to allure us and begins to tug. Oh, it's tough. It's a journey that, again, we just every day got to focus. And I want to leave you with three verses today. The first is where we're going to go to 1 Timothy. I already quoted one part of this today. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 6, and we're going to go to Hebrews 13 and John 10:10. We've quoted John 10:10 a couple of times, too. Is this good? 1 Timothy 6. So it'll be on the board, and write this down so you can go back and look at it later. But 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 12, where he writes, but godliness actually is a means of great gain. Imagine that right there. Just that statement alone, that'll preach. That godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare in many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root, it's not the root, but it is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Oh, there's just an encouragement there. Again, it's not the issue of money. Hopefully, we all have money in the account somewhere. Hopefully, you have an emergency fund that you're building. Hopefully, there's a retirement that you're building for. And so hopefully, you're being wise. And if you're in a place of wealth, that's not the issue. It's the pursuit of it, and it's the love of it. You can't love it. You can't pursue it. And some of us, the life journeys that God has set us on has put us in places where we'd say that we may be wealthy, more wealthy than others, or not somebody. Hopefully, if you're saying you're more wealthy than others, well, then I don't know. You may need to look at yourself. Maybe there's another issue there, or maybe it's just true. But what are you doing with it? How are you praising God with it? How are you living for Him? Are you living in these things? Christ is talking about these things because these things usually reflect our heart. Is there anything in your life that's a distraction between you and your worship? I believe Christ would say, you need to do something with that. Hebrews 13:5. We're going to look at just 13:5. Christ says here, or actually the writer of Hebrews says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. And He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Amen. You ever been in a tough place where you just got right on your face and said, God, I need you? And He met your need right then and there in a different way. Oh. And then it goes on, it won't be on the board, verse 6, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. It says, what will man do to me? I'll raise your hand if you're just confident. It says that the Lord is your helper. Amen. The Lord is our helper. And then John 10:10. We've read this just a few moments ago, but this is where we'll end. On John 10:10, there's two truths in this passage. In John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now think about that. In the context of all that we've just read, about what Jesus is saying, there are things of this world that distract us. And the enemy usually does not present himself like, here I am, and now I'm going to take everything away. I'm going to come kill, steal, and destroy. But he brings these shiny things and all these things that would distract us, the alluring fame or whatever it may be, whatever you filled the blank in with there that is an earthly challenge for you. He comes and he brings temptation. And he does so he can steal, kill, and destroy. What? He comes to steal your life. We're no longer focused on the Lord. And again, isn't that the issue? If we come down to the struggle of being a follower of Christ, it is that some days we're really hot, we're really just focused on the Lord, and we're going after Him. Some days, not so much. Oh, there's a thief that has taken us away. But Jesus says here, I came that they, I'm going to turn this for us, because this is still for us today. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. That life, that abundant life, we begin to experience it now in different ways, but it's not only for this journey on this earth. It's an eternal journey, where He has promised us heaven, as we looked very briefly at just a moments ago, that there is an enormous inheritance. Just think about it. The streets are gold. As a joke that Dennis Diffie shared with me a while back, the pavement is gold. Oh, He's got so much for us. Big ideas. I'm just mumbling here. Invest wisely. Invest wisely. Set your eyes on Jesus and store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, isn't this just a message of hope? Invest wisely, set your eyes on Jesus, and store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He loves us so much, I mean, think about that. How could this be hope? You just told me everything I love is not good. No, I didn't really quite say it like that. The Holy Spirit might have. But for Jesus to have just a love for us and want to guide us and teach us so much, saying, hey, there's going to be things that take your eyes off of me. Oh, but I tell you, the wise investment is to focus on the things of the kingdom of heaven. That is grace. That is love. It should give us hope to focus on him all the time. He wants the most for us. He wants the most for you. He wants the most for you. And the things that we often put in our bucket list, they fall so much shorter than what Jesus would have for us.